Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet, there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. Please repeat. Purport. In his Anubhashya commentary, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the Panchatattva as follows. The supreme energetic, the personality of Godhead, manifesting in five kinds of pastimes, appears as the Panchatattva. Actually, there is no difference between them because they are situated on the absolute platform. But they manifest different spiritual varieties as a challenge to impersonalists who taste different kinds of spiritual humors, rasas. In the Vedas, it is said, Parashya Shaktir Vibhirai Shruyate, the varieties of energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are differently known. From this statement of the Vedas, one can understand that there are eternal varieties of humors or tastes in the spiritual world. Sri Gauranga, Sri Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, and Sri Vas are all on the same platform. But in spiritually distinguishing between them, one should understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the form of a devotee. Nityananda Prabhu appears in the form of a devotee's spiritual master. Advaita Prabhu is in the form of a bhakta, devotee, incarnation. Gadadhar Prabhu is the energy of a bhakta, and Srivas is a pure devotee. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jai. Thus, there are spiritual distinctions between them. The Bhakta Rupa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Bhakta Swarupa, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And the Bhakta Avatar, Sri Advaita Prabhu, are described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, His immediate manifestation, and His plenary expansion, and they all belong to the Vishnu category. Although the spiritual and marginal energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, they are predominated subjects, whereas Lord Vishnu is the predominator. As such, although they are on the same platform, they have appeared differently in order to facilitate the tasting of transcendental mellows. Actually, however, there is no possibility of one being different from the other, for the worshipper and the worshipable cannot be separated at any stage. On the absolute platform, one cannot be understood without the other. Om Agyanatimurandasya Ganagana Salakaya Chakshur Anilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I have been born in the darkest of ignorance, and my eyes have been opened with the torchlight of knowledge by my spiritual master. I offer him my humble obeisances. So, I just wanted to say a little bit about how we're going to go through the class today. First, I wanted to acknowledge you and thank all of you for coming today. I know your time is valuable, and you probably had other choices you could have made, but you're here to hear the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will be first speaking a little bit about how the five subjects here in the purport manifest, and then we will talk a little bit about the Bhakta devotional service in Lord Chaitanya's mood. And I'm going to make a request that everyone, to help in keeping everyone a little bit on the same page and alert, I'll occasionally ask a question, and I expect everyone to, if you can raise your hand, and then we'll follow through. So Prabhupada explains here in the purport that there are five kinds of pastimes. And yeah, what does this mean, pastimes? Well, we know that there are so many different varieties in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada once said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So also Krishna loves to experience varieties of pastimes or relationships with his different devotees, different rasas. And so therefore he comes in these five different subjects, five personalities here. So we can understand that actually every part of life there is a variety, and that's what makes life relishable. Just like if I had to eat, for instance, in the category of prasadam, if I had to eat the same thing, even though I really love the Mangal Artik sweets that Mother Kalangana makes, can you imagine having those Mangal Artik sweets for every meal of the day, three times a day, just eating Mangal Artik sweets? It would be difficult to maintain, but it's on the transcendental platform. However, also in relationships, if you just had to be with one person for the whole rest of your life, of course, if it was Srila Prabhupada or Krishna, that might be a little different, but just imagine. So Lord Chaitanya appears in this age of Kali for four different reasons. First off, he comes to actually experience the mellow of devotional service that his devotees perform to him. He actually wanted to taste how Srimati Radharani is enjoying on a totally higher level, a million times more, it's explained, or at least many times more than him. So he wanted to experience, what is this experience that she's having that I'm not? Number two is Lord Chaitanya wanted to show by his example how to engage in the process of devotional service. Because we know here Lord Chaitanya is coming as a devotee to show us how to perform devotional service. And in this particular age of Kali, he comes as the Yuga avatar and also as the deliverer of the most fallen. There's a wonderful verse in this regard. And I have my nice Rohini Nandana verse book here, treasured over many years. It's from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. I worship their lordship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, whose long arms extend to their knees, whose beautiful complexions are radiant yellow like molten gold, and whose elongated eyes are like red lotuses. They are the most topmost brahmanas, the guardians of the religious principles for this age, the most munificent benefactors of all living entities, and the most compassionate incarnations of Godhead. They initiated the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gaurativse Namaha. Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent of all avatars because he is delivering Krishna Prema freely to anyone who will take of it. There will never be has never been such a magnanimous and munificent avatar as Lord Chaitanya. So there, of course, are many avatars for different purposes, as explained here, variety of purposes. In this age of Kali, we have this special benediction. It's such an awesome opportunity that we have appeared here and through Srila Prabhupada's mercy got in touch with Lord Chaitanya in the process of devotional service, because Lord Chaitanya does not come very often, isn't it? How often does he come? Does anyone know? One day of Brahma or... What? Yeah, so that's a lot of time. Anyway, so we have this special opportunity. And Lord Nityananda, who is the first manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, is considered here as the original spiritual master. It is actually only by the grace of Lord Nityananda that we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And we see in many different instances how Lord Nityananda assisted in these wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Who was it that actually every day went out on Nam Sankirtan with Haridas Thakur? But it was Lord Nityananda. And who was it who was so supremely merciful to Jagai and Madhai? Who was it that stopped Lord Chaitanya before he sent out his Sudarshan Jit disc to chop off the head of Madhai? But it was Lord Nityananda. And what did he say? He said, Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord, in this particular age, you have not come to annihilate the miscreants, to kill them, but you come to kill the demoniac mentality by giving them the holy name. So these fallen souls, debauchees, are examples of, I can't say for you, but at least for me, in that same mode. So, Lord Chaitanya, in this instance, he is serving as the guru. Lord Nityananda is serving Lord Chaitanya as his guru, and sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant, just as Lord Balaram played with Krishna in the three different modes in Vraja, in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And then Advaita Acharya, it says here, he appears in the form of a bhakta, a devotee incarnation. He is also, all three of these personalities are within the category of the Vishnu Tattva. They are the predominators. And the other two Prabhus that we're going to talk about are Srivas and, of course, Gadadhar. These Prabhus engage in the transcendental loving service to teach all of us how one is subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. The other three, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and Sri Advaita, are of the Vishnu category, and they are the predominators, and the other Prabhus are the predominated. So, and of these three that are the predominators, the only Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is the supreme. He is the supreme master, as is Krishna in the spiritual world and eternally. So, one must distinguish between these different tattva servitors and the jiva tattva servitors. As in the example of Lord Gadadhar, we understand from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Gadadhar was directly the internal energy of Lord Krishna. And He is explained to be an expansion potency of Srimati Radharani. And he is simultaneously considered to be a united form of Chandrakanti, who is the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and Purnananda, who is an expansion of Lord Balaram's very dear girlfriend. Yeah. Who would that be? Would anybody like to hazard a guess? What? Raise your hand. Anybody from the ladies section here? Would that be... Well, I guess it's Purnananda. That's an expansion of Lord Balaram's very dear girlfriend. Maybe Revati? Okay. Thus, he is one of the associates of Chi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda.
Isn't it amazing how... I mean, this is very inconceivable, how Gadadhar is both the effulgence, internal energy of Srimati Radharani and also another personality simultaneously.
This is the spiritual dimension. And next, we have,
of course, Srivas, who is the pure devotee. And I want to talk mainly about the last two personalities, because that's in our category, about the process of devotional service. And a little bit about this, what Srila Prabhupada is actually explaining in this purport, how, and in all these different personalities, there is a common denominator, that a common thread. It's bhakta, devotee. And what do we see that Lord Chaitanya is creating here, or actually what Lord Krishna is trying to experience? I'll give you a hint. What makes the world go round, as well as the spiritual world? Raise your hand, anybody? Hello? Yes. Yes. This is the whole purpose of Krishna's appearance as Lord Chaitanya and when he came to Vraj, to experience different loving exchanges and to bring us closer to him, because this is actually, you know, what everyone is searching for here in this material world. I think one of your hit rock stars, Mick Jagger, put it bluntly, I can't get no satisfaction. In this material world, we can't satisfy ourselves by trying to enjoy. It's like the hand trying to satisfy itself by enjoying the food or prasadam. It doesn't work. It's necessary to water the root of the tree. So, just this morning I was on a japa walk going around, I think it's George Harrison's garden, is that right? So, I came across this one stone that said, love and nothing more. Would anyone like to say what that, I was a little bit like, okay, what does that mean? And I asked one devotee later, but I'd just like to hear from either of you, any of you. Love and nothing more. There you go. Very good, Prabhu. So, yes, there are many aspects of this, but one of them is, yes, all I want is your love, Krishna. I don't want any other distractions. Lord Chaitanya said it himself. I don't want beautiful women or fame, name or fame. What else? Yes? Yes. Perfect. I'm glad you mentioned that, because the other stone, the other inscription, says in, what was that? Does anyone remember? That the other stone that's there, it says
in pure something.
I see the pure in heart.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
So what does this mean? Well, Prabhupada said, purity is a force, right? That purity brings us closer to Krishna. Krishna is Pavitram. Lord Chaitanya is Pavitram, all pure. We cannot approach Krishna unless we ourselves are pure. And what does that mean? Purity in heart, purity in consciousness. And so how do we manifest that purity and that love that's dormant within the heart of all living entities? But you could say that it's on hold, it's on ice, it's frozen stiff. What is going to melt that heart, our hearts? Anybody? Okay, I'll tell you. First, I'll start by reading, if you, any of you went to Prabhupada's quarters yesterday, I don't know if they change the letter every day, but yesterday's letter read, "Our strength is in following the regular principles and chanting 16 rounds. Then Krishna will give us protection. Real spiritual protection is firm faith in Krishna." And what will develop that love for Krishna is by following the process of the five angas of devotional service, enunciated as living in a holy place like Mathura or Vrindavan, or living in a place where Krishna lives, just like here we have Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda and Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Associating and serving the Vaishnavas, 2, 3, worshiping the deities, and also Tulsi, 4, chanting the holy names, and as you're doing all today, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. So isn't it amazing that Srila Prabhupada has taken all these five angas explained in the Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami and incorporated them in the morning program which you're experiencing today. That morning program is what brings us to purity. This awakens our love for Krishna. Throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in different ways is indicating to us how we can cultivate our love for him, to get back to him. But we know that by chanting the holy name, that is most important in purifying the heart. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in so many different ways, he uses this word love, and sometimes he uses bhakta, devotion, devotee, devotional service. In the 9th chapter, verse 26, he says, "If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a little water, I will accept it." Such an easy process. Anybody can do it. He's telling us how we can cultivate that love. He says again in chapter 10, verse 10, "To those Tesham Satyutanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Tam Gyanamam Upayanti Te." To those who are constantly devoted in serving me with, I give thee of how to come to me. Okay? He also says in the 9th chapter, text number 29. Does anyone know it? It's also on the Bhagavad Gita walk, coincidentally. Anybody like to hazard a guess? 9:29. Okay, here it is. "I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in," can't hear you, "devotion." Jai Shri Shri Radha Kulananda Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Yes. Whoever renders service unto me in devotion is my friend. Yes. Is in me. And also I am a friend to him. So Krishna is giving us clear indication of how we can come to the platform of pure devotional service and relish the transcendental mellows of devotional service and serve Krishna in these different ways. So the most important ingredient here is love. And how do we demonstrate that love? What is the manifestation of that love? Like if you love somebody, what would you do for them? Your hand? Anybody else? Hold on. I know she knows most of the answers. I want to hear from some other Mataji. Sorry?
By our
actions. Okay. Yes, that's getting really close. I'm looking at a different word. Yes. What kind of service? Devotional service. Right. Just like Bhaskarnath Prabhu today. I saw him before Mangal Arti. He brought two wonderful bouquets of flowers for Krishna. And so we see that there's a natural inclination. I want to serve someone. I want to give them something very special. Just like the mother who sent her son away, to college to get a good job in the future. When he comes home after spring break, she prepares him a wonderful offering of different foodstuffs. And what makes that food special? It is made with love. This is the central ingredient that we want to give to Krishna. It's also called bhava. It is this love that Krishna is actually looking for. And we know the pastime of when Krishna was invited to have a big feast at Duryodhana's palace. He declined and instead took the invitation from Vidura. And when he arrived on Vidura's, knocked on the door, his wife answered the phone and answered the door. And she greeted him, and then she, in her ecstasy, because seeing Krishna and just having him there in her own home, she just lost it. And they were very humble brahmanas. They didn't have the opulent feast of 10 or 12 preparations that Duryodhana had. But she had a banana. And she was peeling the banana to give him the banana, and she ended up giving him the banana peel. And you know what Krishna did with that banana peel? He ate it. And you know, he loved that, the taste of that banana, because that banana was soaked with the devotion of Vidura's wife. So this is what Krishna is looking for. And this is the foremost ingredient in all of our service. So if we love someone, we also want to do that service with care and devotion. We want to do it very nicely. We want to perform a nice artik. We want to do our deity worship. We want to do our offering when we offer to the deities. We want to do it as it is prescribed. And we want to do that with love. That is the central ingredient. There's a wonderful lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan in 1976. He was speaking about this bhava. And I think also he was simultaneously aware of some of the things when the Krishna Balaram temple first started. There are many... it was very difficult because the temple was just built in a very short time. And there was... It's not so much opulence as we have here. So there were many, the temple president sometimes was it was difficult to maintain everything. So Prabhupada was saying that there must be bhava, there must be love, there must be devotion. Because in the bhava, there is attention to the details. There is the expression of giving our hearts to Krishna, of doing it nicely. And he said this bhava must be here. And then he spoke about Golograha and Golokaha. Golograha. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But he said this Golograha is the word for burden. And he said you must not, as soon as the bhava is gone, then there will be a consciousness that this is a burden. And he said that, and when I leave, you'll be saying the old man has left and he's just left us this burden to maintain. And it was very heavy when Prabhupada said that, because you could see he was seeing into the future. Of course, that's not the way it has to be. But this is the nature of Kali Yuga, of the material energy, that we start out with something really great and then gradually it goes down. Of course, we know that spiritual life means ever increasing, ever new, ever fresh. That as we give our devotion and we perform our devotional service, we are actually getting reciprocation from Krishna. Krishna is revealing to us, as he says in that verse, I give the understanding by which one can come to me. So Srila Prabhupada gave us this ISKCON sandwich. The two pieces of bread on the outside, that is like the, as I was explaining, the five angas, the Shravanam Kirtanam. In the morning we come together and hear and chant about Krishna. This is essential for melting the heart, for melting the frozen, stiff heart of the Kali Yuga personalities like ourselves. That's why we're here in this material world, because we don't love Krishna. We want to have the attention. We want the love to be on us. So, and then inside the middle, what's that middle part of the sandwich? Because there's the practical experience of love created by the chanting process, but there's another thing that must be there in order to fulfill on our devotional service. What is that? What? Yeah, practical service, that we are engaged throughout the day in practically serving Krishna. And until, of course, we reach the stage maybe where we are completely pure and we can chant more and more. And, of course, we must understand this. I just recently realized this after many years of devotional service, that I'm becoming more involved and attached to the morning program. And thank you all very much for giving me that opportunity. I'm so much taking advantage here of all the wonderful prasadam and different services that devotees are performing. But service is also there in hearing and chanting. There, you could call that is also devotional service. When we come together and when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, these are his internal ecstasies. One time a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we are most amazed how you have written all these books, over 60 volumes of books, and how amazing these books are. And Srila Prabhupada looked back at his disciple and said, you are amazed, I am amazed. I am amazed of these books. Why? Because Prabhupada knew Krishna has manifest in these books. And where in all the different authors that you see in the world, where do you see an author who is daily reading his own books? It just doesn't happen. But Srila Prabhupada every day read from his books. He would read Krishna book or hear Krishna book read to him. So we must fulfill on this commitment that Srila Prabhupada gave us to follow the process of the ISKCON sandwich. And in closing, I wanted to remember this. This is very interesting. I noted that the last sentence, Srila Prabhupada states in the purport, "Actually, however, there is no possibility of one being different from the other, for the worshipper and the worshipable cannot be separated at any stage. On the absolute platform, one cannot be understood without the other." So we know that this is the two points here. One is the philosophy of Achintya-bheda-bheda tattva, that Krishna is simultaneously one and different, that these different personalities, are all simultaneously one, and yet they are different, so that Krishna can experience the different pastimes. This is the central point. It's not the Mayavadi philosophy that all is one, but there is difference, there is variety, and that which what makes it so relishable is the process of devotional service. It engages the senses. Atakshi Krishna Nabadi Nabavedgrayam Indriyar Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayam Eva Spiratyadao. That with our materially contaminated senses, we cannot understand who Krishna is. But when we engage our senses in the service of the Supreme, then we can understand who Krishna is. So this process is so much, it engages all the senses. For some of you, myself, I was engaged in a different yoga process, and it was so dry. I mean, just like so different from our process, just like our prasadam. You can make so many hundreds and thousands of varieties of preparations for Krishna's pleasure. It's said that Srimati Radharani never cooks the same prep for Krishna. So much to engage the senses. And Prabhupada has made this, it's so exciting too. We have so many different festivals. We have a festival, we just had a festival. Then next week there'll be another festival, which I hope all of you will make an endeavor to come to at Croom Court, which used to be Chaitanya College, right? Tribhanga Nandana, how do you say his name? Tribhanga Nandana Prabhu is organizing it. And it'll be a wonderful festival, and all the expenses paid by the National Trust company that bought the building. Every day, Prabhupada is saying, it's a festival. It's a festival. Because what are we doing? He said that this process is simply Ananda Kevalam, blissfully performed. What are we doing every day? Chanting, dancing, and feasting. What can be more relishable? Who else is experiencing such wonderful food? What restaurant can you go to that has such amazing prasadam that satisfies the stomach as well as the soul? Nowhere, except maybe if you go to Bajahari's, what does he call that restaurant? Gokula. Okay, after New Gokula. Where do you experience such a variety of, such a perfect philosophy? I mean, if you're a philosopher, you can absorb yourself for a whole lifetime in Srila Prabhupada's books. And guess what? With these books, they become ever fresh, ever new. They don't go dry or hackneyed. So Prabhupada is also explaining here that the worshipper and the worshipable cannot be separated at any stage. Does anyone have an idea? What do you think this means? Like, okay, the worshipper and the worshipable are non-different or cannot be separated at any stage. Yes, Prabhuji? Yes. Can you say more about that?
Well,
Yeah, exactly. And what does Krishna say somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita or some one of our scriptures? That I am in the heart of my devotee and my devotee is in my heart. Does anyone know that wonderful verse? Or the English, you don't have to say the Sanskrit. Excellent. And the exact English? Or just...
Roughly English would be. Sadhu, you are my heart, and I am their heart.
Yeah.
They know nothing but me, like,
right.
They know nothing but them.
Yeah. And their purpose is the same, to please Krishna. Another way of looking at it, too, is the devotee who's performing devotional service, the worshiper and the worshipable cannot be separated at any stage. It's just like whenever I see Gadadhar Prabhu running through the or going through the hallway or doing his service, I immediately see the worshipable deities because I know that that's what he's doing, or Dham Sevanam. I know that his worshipable place of worship is the deity kitchen. Which, by the way, if you ever walk into the deity kitchen, it's a very nice standard that I think Srila Prabhupada instituted also. Because we know that the kitchen, as Mother Kulangana can attest to, is the special place of Srimati Radharani. So upon entering the kitchen, we do our achman, and we also pay our obeisances. How sweet, how beautiful it is. And this process is directly coming from the heart of Krishna into the heart of the devotee. The worshiper and the worshipable cannot be separated. So I'd like to close here and ask for any comments or questions. It will be very relishable if you can please say something or ask something. Yes, we have an eager beaver here.
Since today is the first day of Purushottama, I was wondering if you could say a few words about this.
About what?
About the significance of the month of Purushottama.
Well,
if there's any stories related to that month.
Actually, yeah, I was going to ask. Almost, for me anyway, it's basically the same as Purushottama, Kartik. Although I heard also from my son's Shiksha Guru, Indra Prabhu, actually instructed my son to go to Vrindavan for Purushottama. This happens every 4 years, and it's also 16 times more benefit than going to Vrindavan in Kartik. So we know that Kartik is the time when you do extra chanting and hearing, and you also take on certain extra vows or austerities to help propel you closer to Krishna and go back to Godhead a little quicker. So this is an opportunity to do that, to increase your hearing and chanting, to give up something in your daily activities, to minimize the bodily necessities or to... minimize the enjoying spirit and take up more hearing and chanting. And I also heard from one other devotee that he was instructed by his guru, be careful. Be careful what you do in this month that you don't make offense. But I'd be interested to know if any other devotees have anything to add to that. Or any understanding, like Prabhu, I couldn't really fully answer it.
There's a story connected with Draupadi.
Okay. Could you expand on your vocal cords a little bit?
She was a sage called Megha.
She was what?
She was a sage called Megha.
Sage.
Body, she was crying, and Guru Arjan Muni knew this stage.
Dear Vasa Muni, are there people listening on the internet? Okay. You should have a microphone actually for the questions, but go ahead, Helen. She what? She started offending? She did. With consciously? Oh, okay. So he's explaining that... give it to him? Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Somebody give him the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, so she started making offenses to the month of Purushottam. So Duvasa Muni told her, you'll have to suffer reactions for making the offenses to the month of Purushottam, because this month is a very special month. So Draupadi had a desire to have a husband. So she prayed to Lord Shiva. She was doing austerity to Lord Shiva. And she prayed five times to have a husband. So Lord Shiva gave her the blessing that you'll have five husbands. So then when she appeared in Krishna Leela, she came out from the fire, you know, Draupadi and, yeah. So then the reason why she got the sari, Dushasana tried to take a sari off her, yeah. Because she made the offense to the month of Purushottam. And also the reason why she got protected, because one time Krishna got cut on his finger and she took her sari and she put it on Krishna's finger. So Krishna told her that this will save you in the future.
Oh, wow. So you're saying that this
he was a father.
What?
He was a sage. He was a son. He was a father of Draupadi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this shows you that although Draupadi made offense to the month of Purushottam, and Duvasa Muni said that she had to suffer reactions for that, but she took shelter of the Supreme Lord, who is the shelter of the month of Purushottam, and in this way she got rectified.
Anybody else? Comments or questions? Anything? We've still got 5 minutes to keep the Krishna Katha going. Go ahead.